Thank you, everybody. So wonderful to be able to be together, even though some are farther apart than others. But to have time to have communion together is a real treat. So thinking about what communion means and reading a book called Our Identification with Christ's Sacrifice by David Berge. And he talks about communion as that it's made up of two words, common and union. And so our common union is the union that we have with Christ, our identification with him, and how we share fully with him. So we're going to see how that plays out as we not only celebrate it, but as we learn a little bit more about what it means. So there's two elements in communion, the bread and the wine, and these were used in the sacrifices of the Old Testament too. And the sacrifices in the Old Testament are a complete foreshadowing or a picture of what Jesus would accomplish and how it would all play out. So every time they had these sacrifices, they were supposed to remember that the Messiah was going to come, who would be the great sacrifice. So the bread was called a meat offering, actually, in King James, although it's not meat, it's bread. So every time you see meat offering, you should just read meal offering instead. And then the sacrifice of the wine was called a drink offering. And every day, the priest offered two daily sacrifices of a lamb of the first year in the morning and in the evening. And these sacrifices were always accompanied by a meal offering and a drink offering. So I want to read it to you from Numbers chapter 28 and start in verse 5. And a tenth part of an ephah of flour for a meat offering, read meal offering, mingled with the fourth part of a hin of beaten oil. So the flour was mixed with oil. It is a continual burnt offering, which was ordained in Mount Sinai, for a sweet savor, a sacrifice made by fire unto the Lord. The meal offering was offered with the lamb on the altar, and it was burned up. Then verse 7 says, about the drink offering. And it says, and the drink offering, therefore, shall be the fourth part of a hin for the one lamb. In the holy place shalt thou cause the strong wine to be poured unto the Lord for a drink offering. Some people say it was poured at the base of the altar. Some say it was poured on the sacrifice. But that drink offering of the wine was poured out. It was not drunk. So verse 8 says, and the other lamb shalt thou offer at evening, as the meat offering of the morning, and as the drink offering thereof, thou shalt offer it, a sacrifice made by fire of a sweet savor unto the Lord. All these sacrifices talks about how they were a sweet savor to the Lord. And I thought about that a little bit today, that what is the sweet savor? And David Berge has a whole section in his newest book called Jesus Christ, Our Complete Offering, that talks about it. But it's that God was pleased. He was so excited that they were doing these sacrifices because he knew exactly what was going to happen and how he would send his son, and that his son would fulfill the picture and what it was pointing to. So during the Passover on the 14th of Nisan, which corresponds to our Wednesday that year, the lamb was killed, it says, between the evenings, so between 3 and 4, somewhere around there, p.m. in the afternoon. And that is exactly when Jesus died on the cross and became the Passover lamb that year. He fulfilled everything that the lamb was going through, from the time he came into Jerusalem on the donkey and they were saying Hosanna to him, and all through that week up until Wednesday, he was doing everything that they were doing to the Passover lamb. But when they split the throat of the lamb in the temple was the exact time that he said, "It is finished." And so he became the payment for, just like in the Passover when they were leaving Exodus, he became the payment so that people could be free from death, that the angel of death would pass over them. And during that time in Exodus, they also ate the lamb and ate unleavened bread for their health. And they went in the strength of that for a number of days. Jesus is our complete Savior in everything, in how he fulfills all the offerings, actually. But now when we celebrate communion, we're looking back at what he accomplished. And when he was, that very last day before he was taken in the trial, he instituted the Last Supper, and it was there that he said, and he explained to the disciples that the bread was his body and the wine was the blood of the New Testament, which is shed for many for the remission of sins. So the bread was his body and the wine was his blood. Now, remember, I was talking about how we're identified and we have this full sharing in Jesus' sacrifice. The reason why this lesson was given right before he died was so that the disciples would remember that they ate the bread and they drank the wine, and that they would remember what it meant afterwards, after the resurrection. And after the day of Pentecost, then, they looked back and realized what he was talking about was everything that he accomplished for our healing and for remission of sin. Then later, Paul taught the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians 10 and 11 about what the communion meant. And I wanted to just read a couple verses from chapter 10. In verse 16, "The cup of blessing which we bless, is it not the communion of the blood of Christ?" Remember, communion means to share fully. "The bread which we break, is it not the communion or the sharing fully and identification of the body of Christ?" And then it's really clear how it says in the next verse, "For we, being many, are one bread and one body, for we are all partakers of that one bread." We're partakers of the one bread, which is represented of the body of Christ. In verse 18, "Behold, Israel, after the flesh, are not they which eat of the sacrifices partakers of the altar?" So when the children of Israel did these sacrifices, it was not just rituals they were going through, but they really understood that they were full participants in the sacrifices. So especially at Passover and at the feast, when the lambs were killed, then they identified with what was happening, and it was like they were participating in it. So that's the same thing when we participate in the communion. We are doing it as a memorial because the one-time sacrifice is already done. But we participate in it fully because of wanting to really get in our hearts that identification that we have with Christ in everything that he did. He was our complete Savior in every single way. It says that he bore our sins, he bore our sicknesses, he bore our sorrows, the chastisement of his peace was upon us, upon him, And he did that, like, in the manifestation. He did that out of love. And it was the greatest example of love that there is. So that's what I wanted to share.